Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Welcome back to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. There's Mark Halleck. I'm Dan Hurst.
Hey, thank you, Mark.
And
hey.
That all is for Kyle Bierman, who is running
the
controls.
Thank you, Kyle.
Here. So, you guys, you were just, we're just at the tail end of the Southern Baptist Convention this year.
That's right.
And I know both of you are exhausted. You should see your faces.
You know? Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
You both need a shave. Yeah. I'm just pointing that out.
That's very true.
And but how was it?
It was great. We're in Dallas, Texas right now. Actually, we're in Irving at Plymouth Rock Baptist Church. Actually, Plymouth Park Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Matt Hensley's church. He's letting us use this. But we just came through the Southern Baptist Convention. And I came in on last Sunday and preached in Grand Prairie. Mm-hmm. Then Sunday we did a thing with the directors of missions. And then Monday was the pastor's conference. And Tuesday was an amazing lunch for... Monday was also the Sin Network lunch. We'll talk about it. Mark and I have been to the SBC. So, Mark, first of all, and it was here in Dallas, had about 11,000 or so messengers, 3,000 or 4,000 guests, so 14,000 folks or something like that. So, Mark, first I want to talk about number one thing, just loving the brothers.
Oh, man.
Just talk to me about the fellowship, the love, and what you felt.
It's what I love most about it. Every year is... And I'm reminded why I love being part of the Southern Baptist Convention. It's just seeing brothers and sisters all around the country. And, you know, again, you know, I'm an extrovert. So this is like a slice of heaven for me. I'm just so excited everywhere you go. But just the encouragement that I receive, the gift of being able to encourage those who are discouraged, but all being together, times of sweet worship together.
So many
times of worship this year. It is such a gift to my soul just to be with dear brothers and sisters.
If you're not at the convention, all you see are little tweets and little news stories about that. But, man, when you're here, I mean, people are smiling and hugging each other and great to see each other.
Lots of encouragement, lots of joy.
I know we're this humongous organization of 50,000 churches and 15 million members, but, man, we get together. It's like it's just two or three of us in this hallway, two or three of us at this place. And even if you don't know anybody, you get on a bus because you're taking a bus back to the hotel. Yeah. People just talk to you, and they're glad you're there. And it is the sweetest two or three days.
It is.
Look, my first Southern Baptist Convention was Detroit, Michigan, about 1966. I was 6 years old, and I haven't hardly missed any of them in 60 years. And it was the same then as it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what draws us to this
Honestly,
thing.
I wish anybody who when they hear the SBC, kind of looks at you weird, I wish they could experience this.
I know.
And they would get it. They'd be like,
because,
man.
Remember, 88% of our pastors pastor churches of under 200. So we're talking about guys walking around with their wives and their kids who are pastoring 100 people that just want to hang out with other guys pastoring 100 people.
Totally.
And just love on them and encourage them. And so that is such, every year I leave so encouraged by the love and I just love it. Number two, and this is an issue we were focused on this year and the last couple of years. Our team, the Replant team, we did a lunch just for pastors of small churches.
And it was awesome.
It was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. We had 1,300 people show up at this lunch.
Which is insane.
I know. We had, and Mark
especially
and I,
when, by the way, when, and Bierman has a picture to prove it, 8 years ago we had 10 people.
Yeah, I know. It's grown from 10. Yeah. So it about wore our team out cooking all those hot dogs for 1,300 people. But we did. We had a great time of 1,300 men and women who serve, pastors and their wives, who serve in churches of less than 200. Mm. And we just loved on them and encouraged them and just gave them a good positive word that, man, their work matters and they matter. And they have a network now, and they feel part of something
that I
think they're not necessarily always felt a part of.
Yep.
And so we're going to do that every year. We're going to be in Orlando next year. And if you're pastoring a church of less than 200, you plan on coming. Yep. It'll be lunch on Tuesday.
Yep.
And we'll provide lunch again, and we'll have a good program, and it'll be a fun time.
We want
time.
You to come because we want you to know. If you are listening to this and you are in that, you know, the majority of pastors, you matter, and God is using you, and you get in a room like that. What's so awesome is you're looking around, going, "Man, we're all in the same boat.
That's right.
You know?
And God's doing amazing things in all these normies.
That's right.
You know, one of the cool things we did is when these guys came to the event, we emailed them ahead of time. Like you register and get your free ticket ahead of time. And we said, hey, would you send us a picture of your church building and the name of your church and location? And, I mean, 50 plus more of them did. And so while we're eating lunch on the huge two screens in this hall that seats 1,500 people, their churches, the pictures of their churches, just these regular, normal sized churches.
So cool. So cool.
And I mean, I think they're beautiful.
They are.
Most of them were built using the Sunday school board plan from 1962, and they all tend to look alike. Or they're First Baptist churches from the early 1900s or something. You know, but they're just normal looking church buildings. And some of them were metal buildings, and some of them were storefronts, and the signs were out front. Yeah. And there was one pastor who did not pastor a small church who was there who remarked, who put those pictures up and why are those there? Oh, man. Those are beauties,
dude,
man.
Those are beauties.
That's 88% of our churches.
That's who we are. That's
and so these guys were able to see, there's my church up there. This is who we are. So I love serving those size churches. It was the best part of my week was being with those people. Number three, the pastor's conference. And that's always been a highlight. It starts Sunday night, goes on Monday, where you get to hear some really good preaching from some guys across the North American continent. But the pastor's conference has gotten really expensive, Mark. It's not paid for by the convention, by the executive committee. It's paid for by itself. It started decades ago when pastors were coming in early and they said, well, let's just get together and we'll have a conference just for us pastors.
I was wondering when that started.
Oh, I can't give you the exact date, but it's been going on since the 1940s or 50s. And so we just come in a couple of days early and we're just going to preach together and learn together. And so they just kind of created their own little conference and they raised their own money and provided it. Well, in 2025, to rent the convention hall with all of its light and sound and equipment and video, it's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm. Well, there's no budget for that. Mm-hmm. So whoever gets elected president of the pastor's conference has to basically find some way to raise that money. And so it's become a problem because the costs keep going up. All these convention centers are union and all the expenses go up. So there's a special task force. Bryant Wright is leading it. On how do we continue the pastor's conference in the future? Mm-hmm. And so just be praying about that. Some of the options are that maybe some of the entities, the sub-Baptist entities, would sort of underwrite some of the cost to get to have a particular part of the program. I guess there might be a possibility that I don't think the executive committee or the cooperative program would pay for that. I don't know what the underwriting might be, but another possibility, people have talked about it, is that you maybe move the pastor's conference, which takes place on Sunday and Monday, move it to a nearby church, a large church building near the convention center. And I realize you're not going to seat 15,000 people in that building, and maybe 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000. It's not the same location. You got to drive over there. You got to park. For a lot of people, that's not a really good option. But on the other hand, some people say, well, it is a good option because you'd really be in church. Right now, the pastor's conference being in the convention hall, I mean, the exhibition hall is right down the hall. There's a lot of distractions. You can come and you go. I preached at the pastor's conference in Anaheim.
What was that like?
It was terrifying. It was not terrifying because there's a lot of people. It's terrifying because you're on this platform and you're 50 yards away from the front row. I mean, you got me?
And
you can't even see the back of the room. And people are getting up and walking around and talking to each other. I mean, not the people right in front of you, but in the whole convention hall, it's kind of a come and go, right?
Regular church.
You would never do that if we were held in a church building. You wouldn't feel free just to get up and walk in and walk out. And so it was sort of that, you know, thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but a lot of them were just coming and going. They'd sit for a while and they'd leave. And it was this huge room. It was very hard to preach in. There's an echo, obviously. It's not normal.
You also can't hear. I don't know about you. When I've been on those,
You can't hear the crowd.
You can't hear the crowd at all.
No. So you don't know whether they're with you. You can't see them either because of the lights. And so I would think for the preacher to be standing in a pulpit in a sanctuary, you would be a much better experience.
For sure.
And so it would mean people would have to intentionally go to the pastor's conference, park there, spend the day there. I get it.
Yep.
But having it in a church building is one option, or a nearby, perhaps a less expensive theater someplace, mm-hmm, you know, like a concert hall or something. Yeah. So you just pray for Bryant and that team, because the pastor's conference is important, and people do want to have it, but the costs have gotten prohibitive. The next thing I want to talk about is our love for missions. I mean, I've been going to Southern Baptist conventions all my life, and it never changes. The highlight is always the commissioning of new missionaries. Dan, your mom and dad were missionaries, and I remember when they would come back on furlough and they would be at the Southern Baptist convention, they'd get to wear a red banner on their on their sign, on their badge that said foreign missionary.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And if you were a home missionary, you wore a green little flag that said home missionary. And I remember as a kid, I never wanted to be a foreign missionary. I'm not sure why. Maybe because you were and you freaked me out. But I always did want to be a home missionary. I always thought that would be cool. And I always imagined someday I would walk around the convention hall with a green, I should just make my own and just say home missionary and wear it. But even today, it's just the largest displays in the convention center are the mission boards, North American Mission Board and International Mission Board, and the presentations of the North American Mission Board and the presentation of the International Mission Board, the commissioning of missionaries, such a highlight. And then the sharing of the seminaries and all that they're doing and the growth that they have and their commitment to the gospel.
Amen.
And their commitment to scriptural fidelity. I mean, there's so many good things to come out of that.
So many.
And finally, number five. It's just a miracle that we keep going. I mean, 1845 we got founded.
Wow.
You think about that. How much the country has changed, how much everything has changed, and all the tension among denominations and all the tension among ours. I mean, every year we're tension about something, all of that. But nonetheless,
I know
we're still here.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, God's not done with the Southern Baptist Convention.
I agree.
Now, I know some of you go, well, I'm taking my church and walking away. But God's not left us.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're going to leave a place that God's not left, I guess that's between you and him. But he hadn't left us. And so, you know, I would be cautious about that. But we're still here. And, and people, they proclaimed the death of the SBC. I mean, I heard it in the 70s, obviously.
Every year, I feel
like. The 80s, obvious. Every decade, this is the end. And, you know, God just keeps working through us.
Well, that's what, I mean, if you were to ask me, I mean, to describe how I feel about the SBC, two things. I'm really thankful, and I'm really hopeful. And there are naysayers out there, and I get that. But you know what? I'm so thankful. One, I can tell you this. Having grown up in a liberal mainline denomination, it is a gift and privilege. My wife and I chose to become Southern Baptist.
That's right.
And I, when I hear complaints, I go, man, do you know how good we've got it? We believe the Bible.
Right.
we love the gospel. We've got so much good. So I'm really thankful and I'm hopeful because what I see is a lot more unity than disunity.
Oh, totally.
And a missions focused, an urgency to reach the lost, both
and a new awareness and commitment to the normative size church.
Oh, absolutely,
smaller church.
Totally.
All right, we got to wrap this up, but thank you for letting us kind of unpack the Southern Baptist Convention. And if the Lord doesn't return and our health maintains, we hope to see you next year in Orlando. And we have a Replant Summit coming up. All right, please, please, please. Make every effort to be with us at the Replant Summit. Kyle, if you would just tell us about the Replant Summit, give us the dates and the times, and then you can take us home with Dan from there.
So the Replant Summit is August 25th and 26th in Alpharetta, Georgia, outside of Atlanta, at the North American Mission Board headquarters. If you've never been to the NAM headquarters, it's worth it to come. The event's going to be fantastic. You'll want to come to the event, but it really is... Mark, Halleck, I think you would agree. It's important to come and check out the NAM building.
Oh, totally.
To see the work that happens there.
You'll be inspired.
Yes. Yeah. Even though none of us who are there will actually work there. We all work for NAM. Yeah. None of us work at the building. We're all over the country. But it's a lot of fun to see it. Our theme this year is Every Church Renewed. A two-day event. We really want to equip and inspire church leaders with tools and the vision needed to renew and revitalize their congregation. So here's some of the topics that are going to be covered. Jesus has a plan for every church. Discipleship that transforms, radical collaboration. I'm assuming that's yours.
Yep, I'm taking that. I can't wait.
visionary shepherding, leader development, being missional, and then a ton of breakouts just on things surrounding developing a renewal movement
right.
within your churches.
That's
because
right.
we really do. We want to see every church renewed. And here's the thing. Every church has something that needs to be renewed.
Yep.
Whether it's a church of 25, a church of 2,500, there's something that needs to be renewed. So this is everybody. So the cost for this is $35. Again, August 25th and 26th, you can register. nam.net/replant is the place to find this. You'll find this down on the page there. We'll put this link in the show notes here as well. So I hope that you will make plans to join us August 25th and 26th, Alpharetta, Georgia, for the Replant Summit 2025. Thank you so much for listening. As Dan would say, please be sure to subscribe. we're so thankful for you. God bless you, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.